Estela, aquí está vendiendo.
He was milking this morning, I didn't.
Good afternoon. Let us open this meeting by singing hymn number 7. Hymn number 7. Eternal God, thou only just, thou only gracious, wise and true, not unto us who are but dust, but unto thee is glory due. This afternoon's lecture is entitled The Promises Made to the Fathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And to introduce our lecture, we will take a portion of God to read from God's Word, namely Galatians chapter 3. Paul's epistle to the Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same in the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which is 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Brother Matthew, please, if you will ask God's blessing on our proceedings. Before we call our speaker forward, let us sing hymn 128. Hymn 128. Great God of Abraham, hear our prayer. Let Abraham's seed thy mercy share. Or may they now at length return and look on him they pierced and mourn. promises made to the Father have an international bearing. We will ask our speaker, Mr. Arthur Hughes, to come forward and deliver the lecture based on God's Word, the Bible, the promises made to the fathers.
Promises made to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. No attentive reader of the scriptures can be ignorant of the prominence given there to the writings concerning the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision of the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." If then Christ came to confirm the promises made to the fathers, it is obviously very important that you and I might know something about these promises. The Apostle Paul incidentally declares that these promises belong primarily to the Jews. Turn with me to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans in chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 3. "For I wish," says the Apostle, "that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen." Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Turn quickly now with me to Galatians in chapter 3. With the Apostle Paul writing again, Galatians chapter 3, and we read there in verse 16, as our speaker, our president, read to us, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." It is obvious then that if we are to know these promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and what they can mean to you and I, we must refer to the history of Abraham from which Paul derived his information. That is the Old Testament scriptures of which the apostle was familiar. As many are familiar with the history of the Jews and so forth, but consider that these things are past and done with. These things are past and done with and are no more than legends. And consider the promises God made with Abraham as applicable only to the insignificant events of the Jewish history and nothing at all to do with the hope of man. Because of the erroneous belief of the immortality of the soul and of the going to heaven when they die, Christendom sings such hymns as, Where is now the prophet Daniel? Safe in the promised land, which in their estimation is in heaven, where they believe that they will live with Christ in glory. But this cannot be. This cannot be. This is an impossibility. The wise man tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, for him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they must die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything done under the sun. So the hope of Christendom about us, that they go to heaven when they die, is an impossibility, as Scripture proves. And the Apostle speaks, Paul speaks of Abraham and the faithful as not having yet received the promises. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the Epistle to the Hebrews, in chapter 11 and verse 13. Chapter 11, and we're at verse 13. These, and he was speaking about Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, and so forth. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And turn over to the 39th verse. And once again we prove that these promises have not yet come to fruition. And these all, that's all the catalogue of the faithful, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What then might we ask? Are these promises that God made to the fathers the substance of which they have not yet received, and which the apostle says will not receive until the total of the chosen ones from every nation, kindred, people, and tongue are made up? To find out this regarding the promises, we go right back to the Old Testament, and we go in at Genesis chapter 12, where we first meet of this Abraham, this man of faith. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, in a nutshell, that is the promise that God made with Abraham. Turn with me now to Genesis 13 and verse 14. And here once again we read, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. During the early sojourn, stages of Abraham's sojourn in that land, Abraham was concerned as to how his seed, of which his promise, would be developed. Because he was childless, he even contemplated making Eliezer, his servant, his heir. But God told him that that seed of promise would proceed from his own body. Despite being childless since marriage, and also the fact that both he and his wife Sarah were now far beyond the normal childbearing years. But Abraham believed in the impossible. That is, impossible with man, but not for God. He believed that what God had said to him would come to pass. And demonstrating his great faith in God, he was accounted righteous by God. He was justified by his faith in God. The seed of promise was to be born through the power of God upon Abraham and Sarah, his wife. And a son was born. A son was born when Sarah was 99 years of age and Abraham 100 years of age. And they called the child Isaac, which means happiness or joy. And as the son of the promise which God had promised to him, his birth brought happiness and joy to his parents. For in that child, they saw the fulfillment of all their hopes and aspirations. Through him would come the heir of the world, as God had promised, in whom God said all nations would be blessed. Now God tried Abraham. He tried Abraham severely and asked him to sacrifice his own begotten son, of which Abraham was prepared to do. Turn to Genesis chapter 22, and there, when he was about to slay his son as God had promised, we read in verse 12, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, and looked, and behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now, when we consider these promises in detail, it will be found that they consist of several distinct statements, which, for the sake of clarity, we will consider separately. The promises state that one, Abraham's posterity would become a great nation. Now, no one in this hall or in this world can deny this fact, for the Jews have been and are a great nation in the earth today. After the giving of the promises to Abraham, God said unto him, as we have just read, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve I will judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age." After Abraham's days, we speak here of Israel or Jacob, who went into Egypt with his family. 75 people went in to Egypt because of the famine that was in Canaan. But they came out 400 years later, a great nation. And they entered eventually the land of promise that God had promised. And yet, this is not that great nation of what was spoken of to Abraham, which would multiply as the sand of the seashore and of the stars of heaven, and which would receive of that blessing. For the people, for the Apostle Paul tells us, as we read in the third of Galatians, they are not all Israel which are of Israel, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of the promise. Abraham pleased God by his faith in him. He believed what God had promised, and that what God had promised he was able to perform, and he was obedient to God and walked in his way. Those of his descendants who were not of this disposition are not counted for the seed, even though they may be flesh and blood descendants of Abraham. They are not reckoned as constituents of that great nation promised to Abraham. Turn with me for the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 4. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 4, and we read at verse 13. Verse 13, "For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham but to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to also that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which not be not, as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. They must be of the faith of Abraham. There have been through the ages many who were of Abraham's seed, both in blood, faith, and obedience, who will be a part of that great promised multitude. The others that make up that vast multitude will come from the world at large. Gentiles out of the nations, great in faith, being adopted into the stock of Abraham, as we read in Galatians 3 and verse 7. Know we therefore, says the Apostle Paul, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And the Apostle Paul also tells us in the Acts of the Apostles, God did at the first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, those that would become a part of that wonderful multitude who will be blessed in Abraham. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew says to the scribes and Pharisees, many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. But the children of the kingdom, the faithless and unbelieving Jews, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it is those that are of faith of Abraham shall indeed inherit those promises. The second point we would like to consider is that the promises state that Abraham and his seed would receive possession of the land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And we will note here, not in heaven. They will inherit the earth, not heaven. And once again, it is evident, is it not, that this part of the promise has not yet been fulfilled. The Apostle Paul states in Hebrews 11 that Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. And the martyr Stephen tells us in the Acts of the Apostles, and he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot upon it. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. The Jews occupied the land under the law of Moses, which stated in the most stringent terms that their occupation upon that land depended upon their conformity to the requirements of that law that God gave them. Turn with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And here we will see this come shown quite clearly to us from the scriptures. We can't read it all, the chapter is vast, but we just went at verse 1. And it did come to pass, says God to Israel, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And we speak of all the blessings that shall come upon them. And then in verse 15 we read, and it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Turn to verse 64. Verse 63, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would to God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way, whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there he shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. History has shown so clearly that they failed to walk in the laws of God. And how too they rejected their Messiah who came unto them. And we read that indeed how the Romans came in AD 70 and took away their place of worship and nation, and the Jews were scattered throughout the earth. So the promises then have not been fulfilled. The Jews have lived as strangers upon the land. So for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and those of their faith to receive those promises, they will need to be resurrected from the dead. The Apostle Paul says, when speaking of the faithful of the past, these all died in faith, obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It is then that those found faithful at the judgment seat of Christ who will receive the promises and an everlasting inheritance upon the earth. When we turn to the passages of Scripture, brothers and sisters and young people, concerning the receiving of these promises, we wonder how orthodox believers can miss the import of them. Let's turn to Leviticus and chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 42. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbath while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet, for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. So here we are told quite plainly, yes, Israel would turn from God. Yes, they would be scattered throughout the earth. But as God has said, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. When God speaks of that time in the scriptures, as we have just read, that he will bring Israel back, we also turn to Ezekiel 36, of where we once again read of that wonderful time when God shall return the children of Israel back to their land. Chapter 36 and verse 34. Verse 34. We read verse 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate ruined cities have become fenced and are inhabited. That neither nor the nations that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And when we turn to the words of Zechariah at the birth of the Lord Jesus, of the John the Baptist, when John the Baptist's father was in the temple, the angel spoke unto him. Let's turn to that chapter, Luke chapter 1 and verse 67. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Here was Zacharias in the temple, and we read, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised them an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets which have been since the world began, that we should be saved out of our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and was strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Yes, Orthodoxy believes that the things concerning the Old Testament and the promises are legends and things of the past and have nothing to do with the hope of man. But we have gone to chapters this evening, we could have gone to many more, which shows that these promises shall come to fruition at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we turn to the 2 Samuel in chapter 7, where David, that illustrious king of Israel, was in the line of Abraham, that he too was promised that he would have a part and a place in that time when the earth would be blessed. Verse 10, chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, verse 10. David was told, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as at before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee." A promise that David would be there in that glorious kingdom. "Thy throne shall be established forever." When these promises shall be fulfilled upon the earth. Once again, evidence that Abraham and his seed, or his posterity, will receive the promises and the inheritance together. They will receive it together at the return of that promised seed of which we read in Galatians 3, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew's gospel record we read, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Those promises coming to fruition. One other point we would like to consider, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom, as we have seen, is the promised singular, the one in whom the promises will be brought to fruition, is to possess the gate of his enemies. He is to conquer the world. The gate of the city in olden times was the seat of authority. The Lord Jesus Christ should come and take away the authority out of man, and indeed shall become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all the earth. We ask the question to our Orthodox friends, has Christ yet overcome the kingdoms of this world? Obviously not. Sin is reigning at the present time. But according to the promises, he shall. Turn with me to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, where we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, Why do the heathen or nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The promises to Abraham, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. All nations shall be blessed in Abraham's seed, or rather, the faithful out of all nations shall be blessed in Abraham and his seed. All people upon the earth, we are told in Daniel chapter 7, shall obey him. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. We have a very important statement in the book of Ezekiel, the prophecy of Ezekiel. If we turn to Ezekiel in chapter 21, there we have a very important statement given to the last king, that is the last Jewish king upon Israel's throne. Indeed, he was a very unfaithful king. Ezekiel, sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter, 21 and verse 25. Right, I've got it. And thou, verse 25, this Zedekiah, the last king on Israel's throne, was told, and thou, profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall come an end, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown, there shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he returns, God shall give to him the kingdoms of this world. In the book of Revelations, we are told how the faithful will sit in the kingdom of God, and they will receive power and glory, and will sit with Christ in his throne. What must you and I do then? What must you and I do that we might become Abraham's seed and heirs according to those wonderful promises? Do you have a part and a place in that great multitude who shall receive the blessings of Abraham and shall inherit the earth? The Apostle Paul tells us in no uncertain manner what we must do. Turn to Galatians in chapter 3, the book of the Epistle to the Galatians, and chapter 3 and verse 26. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if he be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There is a proviso, and that is, we must be of the faith of Abraham. We must have the faith that what God has said he would perform, that he can perform and will perform. And we must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized into his saving name, and walk faithful unto the day of his return. The days are about to dawn when the Lord Jesus Christ, the chosen seed of Abraham, shall return to the earth. He will not come this time as a lamb to the slaughter, but as a lion of the tribe of Judah, to execute vengeance on them that know not God and who believe not the gospel. And he shall judge this earth in righteousness, as the apostle tells us. And after the judgment upon this world, those who have confessed his name and have walked faithfully before him shall have a part and a place in the glorious kingdom. Those that are of the faith and obedience of Abraham, who have in their lives been faithful unto God and await those promises to be revealed, shall be, as the Lord Jesus Christ has said, they shall sit with me in my throne, as I sit in my Father's throne. And we will say once again, not in heaven, but upon the earth, where David, the illustrious king of Israel, had his throne in the past, so the Lord Jesus Christ shall restore that. If we turn to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 15, we are told that that will be restored. Acts chapter 15 and verse 14 we read, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, those that have been baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Yes, the Jews are backing the land as God said they would be before his son returned. We await now for the return of the Lord Jesus. Let us consider these things, for soon they shall become a reality upon the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ said regarding his return, it would be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. The days of Noah were filled with violence, and evil was in man's mind continually, as it is today. The days of Lot were full of sodomites, of which the world is beginning to be filled again. Days of violence and days of sodomites was the time that Jesus said it would be like when he would return. We have the scriptures to show that he will return. We have the things about us showing that Christ will soon return. What must we do? Take upon ourselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he returns, we might be accepted to him, and indeed have a part and a place in those wonderful things that are coming upon the earth.
I'd like to thank our speaker for the remarks he has given, which as proved from the Bible, overturns the beliefs and doctrines of mainstream Christianity on several counts, and also offers us who are naturally Gentiles a hope of being participants in the glorious promises which are revealed to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Another lecture will be given next week, at the same time, from the same location. The title of that lecture is Where Do We Go When We Die? And you're all cordially invited. We ask Brother Robert, please, if he will close this meeting in prayer after we have sung hymn 116, hymn 116. Father of faithful Abraham, hear our earnest prayer for Abraham's seed, who wander homeless, far and near, in suffering, sin, reproach, and need, whose good things we by faith obtain, and Christ by their rejection gain.
give our thanks and our praises, that thou hast revealed thy great and precious promise to the fathers of old, and have laid it on record for generations thereafter, to read and understand thy word, and to be persuaded of a better time to come. Indeed, Heavenly Father, we are grateful that thou hast called us out of this world of darkness into the light and knowledge of thy word, able to make a man wise unto salvation. Only there were those who have eyes to